is true culinary. This is what's behind the scenes. Cooking in the kitchen, that big bunny where we eat all
best dishes. Stories from the kitchen.
Kitchen rolls from the gutters in broadcast form.
Who's hungry, baby? Episode, I think this is going to be 69. 69. Nice. 68. It's one of those two. Rags to Dishes podcast, you know the fucking vibes. Max Messier, Richter, joined with my great host, co-host, whatever the fuck you want to call him, Mr. Dan Cotter. Dan, how you doing?
Splendid. Yo, this is my lighter, huh? I left this here.
Is that yours?
Yeah.
I thought it was Fred's.
Oh, yeah, no, I left
it. I mean, yeah, you can take it back.
It's definitely the night of push, I think.
I mean, like, this is going to be out of date by the time this episode drops, but the Jets just put a beating on Josh Allen, bro.
Yeah, dude, how did I know you were going to bring this up, dude? The Jets, probably.
New York sports, bro. Let's go.
They're probably my new favorite team in the AFC East.
It sounds like every other Patriots fan.
Yeah, they're sick.
Bandwagon. Anyway, guys, to everyone listening that doesn't give a fuck about sports, we got an extremely special guest today. We've been trying to get him for at least over a year.
Yeah.
We had to go deep into the woods to find him.
Yes.
We had to get not Bear Grylls, who's the other guy, Les Stroud, to help us survive in the wild and trap him.
I don't know that one.
You don't know Les Stroud?
No.
He's like the dude that actually does it.
Word.
Survivor Man.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, he's okay. The man. He's great. Anyway, Jerry motherfucking Dennis, welcome to the show.
JMFD.
How you doing?
Like that.
Yeah.
You're not fading it out.
Yeah,
as well.
No,
it's
not anymore. No, people, you know, especially Jerry needs a big applause. So
yeah, Jerry does.
The story, you know, the story can't be told without Jerry. So
it's true.
So Jerry, how the fuck you been, bud? I haven't worked with you in what, like 6 years?
Yeah.
Seven?
Been tired.
Yeah, me too.
Have you not seen him in like 6 years too?
Probably. It's been at least like 4 years, definitely. Definitely at least 4 years since I've seen Jerry.
Yes, before I started plumbing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what Jerry's doing now. But for the listeners that don't know, JMFD and I used to live together. So we've seen each other more recently.
I didn't even know that.
For real?
Oh, wait. You lived in the house with Tuba too. Yeah, I forgot about that. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. People be living with mad people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well said. All right. Word. So, Jerry, you're out of the industry now, right?
You know it.
So you plumb now, right? Working in pipes?
Yeah, laying pipe all day, bro.
So ain't shit changed, really. JMFD laying pipes. That's sick. Do you enjoy being out of the industry, or like, how's plumbing treating you?
I live in the back. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's being rough on your body.
Oh, you know it.
More so than working in the kitchen? Because, like, I feel like the kitchen wasn't that bad. Kitchens,
like, fuck your body up in, like, weird ways.
Like, you're fucking your liver up by drinking all night.
Or, like, the middle of your foot hurts. You know what I mean? It's not, like, something serious, like your back. My hand hurts. You know what
I would get that upper back pain, like, for doing prep work. Like, if you do prep work
on a shitty prep table that's not the right height. Yeah,
and you're doing, like, rim rolls or something, and then, like, right in your shoulder blades, you'd get it, you know? Like,
yes.
Where it's like, that shit sucks.
Yeah, I hate to laugh, but I remember when you injured your back, but I couldn't stop laughing because your pain sounds are like the same as your fake fucking sounds.
Yes.
Like the baby dinosaur sounds?
Is that what we're talking about? Like, like, it was just like, it would be like just like when I was like on the line, like doing fake sex noises while like thrusting at like something on the counter. And so, like, dude, I fucked my back.
It was like the boy who cried wolf. Now you're actually in pain.
Exactly.
And Jerry's like, nah, I'm just going to laugh.
I don't know if we ever got into this in the pod, and I don't know how it happened. I think, like, I slept weird and then had, like, a vicious cough after dabbing or something. But, like, it's like I tweaked my back in a way that had never happened to me before or since.
Yeah.
And it was so debilitating. Like, I went to work at the Mist. Started working, and then it was like I was in so much visible pain. They were like, yo, you got to go home. I went home, and I couldn't, like, sit down or, like, take it easy because, like, my back was just so fucked up. And I remember laying flat on the ground, and Jerry and Tuba were there. And I think my dad had to come over to help me.
Laying on your back or laying on your stomach?
I was like laying on my back on the floor. And I was just like, And like Jerry and Tuba were like giggling in the corner while I was like in the worst, most like troubling pain of my life. Like I was like scared about how, like, because I never felt
you don't have to ask.
Pain like that. And then fucking they were just laughing at me because it sounded like my fake sex noises.
That's great.
Yeah, it was good shit.
Well, I mean, like, I'm glad your back's better, but
yeah, dude, it was fucked up. I had to take like muscle relaxers and use like one of those. Dude,
that's the worst.
You know, those electric massagers, like those little like things that go like. Bzz,
yeah, bzz. Yeah, like a Theragun.
Yeah, but more ghetto.
Anyway, Jerry, I mean, like anyone that knows you and knows us knows what we're going to talk about a little bit today. But I want to ask about jobs that you had before the the infamous establishment. Like, how did you first get started in the restaurant industry during your tenure?
I don't know. I was 14. I wanted a set of drums, so just started working at McDonald's.
You started at McDonald's?
Oh, yeah.
Yo. Oh. Was it, like, in Wakefield or was it out in, like, Hope Valley or some shit?
It was Richmond.
In Richmond?
Yeah, right off 95.
I know
the one.
Like, on what, like 138 off 95?
Yeah, where, like, there's a Wendy's job lot.
And the birth of JMFD.
Stop and Shop Gas.
So have we talked to like a McDonald's worker yet? I mean, I know we've had some.
We've had Wendy's.
BK workers.
We've had Wendy's. We've had BK.
I don't.
No, Jimmy. Jimmy worked at McDonald's.
What was it like working at McDonald's, Jerry?
Garbage.
What did you do there? Like
cashier most of the time.
Really? You didn't have to cook any of the food or?
No, not too often. Unless it was like fries and crap.
Yeah, but is that where they start you? Like, they start you on, like, the talking to people job? Or do they, like, start, like, what's the, like, low end of the totem pole job? It's the cashier.
Are there dishes there?
There's gotta be dishes.
Right?
Like, at least, well,
or
like.
Or do they just not clean and then when, like, Jerry's, it gets too dirty,
Jerry's thinking
they, just,
really
they like, just open a new McDonald's somewhere?
Like, there's, all right, so there's the trays for people that eat there, first of all. But second of all, there's got to be some sort of like prep and slash like cooking
bowls.
Dishes.
Yeah, I mean,
like
I don't
the
know
the guns that they squirt the mayo and the ketchup out of. Like they gotta wash those at some point, right?
I can't remember. It's
spatulas.
It's might been just, like 20 years.
They might just like throw them out.
They gotta have like spatulas and tongs and shit.
You
like
just
that.
Throw it out and get new ones.
Why would you?
I don't know. Think about how much money fucking McDonald's has.
Yeah, it's probably a dishwasher in the back somewhere.
Yeah, it's got to be something back there. Damn.
How does McDonald's
work? So you didn't fuck with McDonald's?
Nah.
How long did you last there?
2 years.
2 years? Come on. You then that's fucked with them good. A little bit. That's pretty long. Especially like as a kid. I feel
was
like.
It just a summer job initially? Or like were you there when you went back to school?
Oh, yeah. I worked there year round.
Damn, that's hardcore. I don't remember if I worked year-round when I first got a job. I think I did.
The establishment was my first.
Your first year-round job or your first job?
Yeah. No, first year-round job. Where like
that wasn't just summers off?
Yeah.
Yeah, it showed.
I mean, I worked at on Carrie's, but that was like, it was like 8 months of the year or something like that.
Yeah, Desiree told us about how you were out there.
Yeah, I was, you know, not the best at the time.
So,
not saying I'm the best now either.
Yeah. So where did you go for McDonald's? And did you ever do anything besides cashier? Or were you cashier the whole 2 years?
Cashier and drive-thru.
Really?
Did you ever fuck with people?
Nah.
Did they fuck with you, though?
Oh, yeah. I was like a super fat kid.
Oh, man. I didn't know that.
Did you?
Bless you.
Let me take that again.
Nah, it's all good.
Did you ever deal with any like wild ass, like drunk late night customers, or were you doing day shifts because you were so young or something?
Nah, I don't know. Just get tour buses full of jackasses, and that was about it.
Tour buses? For real?
Yeah, like Greyhound buses and stuff.
Yeah, because it's right next to 95.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's got to be a big ass order.
Why'd you leave?
Shit, I don't remember.
Did you quit?
I mean, yeah, definitely.
You were just like, fuck this?
It definitely was not a job I was fired from.
Yeah.
What about, did you have any jobs pre the establishment that are more like, more stuck with you?
Not really. worked at Friendly's for a little while, Applebee's.
Really?
I worked at a kitchen and nursing home.
Yep.
Well,
I feel like a lot of people in Rhode Island have worked in like nursing home kitchens.
Yeah.
I feel like we get a lot of those, and I've never even seen like a job opportunity for one of those.
I think that like if you can find those niche cooking jobs, like you cook at a hotel or you cook at, you know, a nursing
home. Like the New York Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
It's my dream job.
Or something like that. It's like that could be a good niche cooking job because it's like, I think that cooking is just swell. You know, I don't mind cooking. It's dealing with tickets that sucks. Like, so another one, like working at a grocery store in the prepared food section, like that's a legit cooking job because it's like you just come in and you make like 10 lasagnas or some shit. You don't like, you don't have to like respond to like tickets on a board dealing like with all this stress,
a flow,
toxic masculinity, people freaking out on each other.
Well, I mean,
you still have to deal, but
there's
it's
probably
like,
some of that. There.
It's less of a hype.
You want that? I want to be that like private chef that cooks for just like some like one like 80-year-old woman in Newport that just like needs like a good diet and like she's just mad rich.
I feel like an 80-year-old would suck because they'd be picky and they'd have bad taste.
Yeah, but it's about the moolah, bro. About that chingo, baby.
So, Jerry,
how old were you when you started at the establishment? Sorry to take the
go for it.
Shit.
You don't know? Were you still in high school?
I don't think so.
How long had you had been work? How long did you work there total? You think?
I don't know, 7, 8.
I feel like you quit and came back a couple times, so there's like some gaps in between.
Oh yeah, Jerry, you're a legend.
Like when I first got hired there, Jerry didn't work there.
For real?
Yeah, Jerry wasn't there.
Oh, were you at the anti-establishment?
I think he was.
were you one of the first people I feel like that was poached, like to go to the anti-establishment?
And Tim.
Yeah, you and Tim, right?
And
I don't know. I don't remember who else.
But anyway, so you must have been like pretty, you must have been pretty young when you started the establishment. Yeah.
Yeah. 19, 20 maybe.
You started as a dishwasher?
Yeah.
Did you crush it?
I don't know. Probably not.
I mean, it's obviously like, I mean, I don't know how fucking old you are, but you're older than me. So
do you remember?
Obviously there was just like one dishwasher, right? So it was just you dishwashing on your shift.
Yeah.
Do you remember who worked there when you were dishwashing? Like who was working the line and who was expoing?
Who's throwing them saute pans in the middle sink?
Dean was working a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Weinrich.
Yep.
Wow.
Shout out Kenny. Episode 50.
I don't know.
Well, like Meehan?
Mark Lennon serving.
Mark Lennon, dude. Yeah.
Mike still working the line when you worked there?
No.
No? He was off the line?
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Dude, he's back. He's back cooking now.
Yeah, rumor is he's back
on the line, dude.
How's that? Sunday mornings, baby.
Think about that, man. Think about Max being back on the line, dude.
I still haven't gone. I got to go.
Seems starting to smoke butts again.
Yeah, dude, that's like the first thing we said. We're like, yo, is there going to be butts in the fucking...
It's 2022 now.
Vegetable hash.
Now he's just smoking pre-rolls.
Yeah, right, true. Smoking $20 pre-rolls on the line.
What about Schmitz? Was he there? Yeah, right? Yeah. Schmitz was... Was he in charge, though?
No.
He was just like a dude that worked there?
I mean...
Was Dean in charge, basically?
Dean was like more in charge.
Yeah.
That dude, so who was in the prep kitchen? Anybody memorable? Uncle Jim or anybody?
I just smoked too much reefer throughout that whole time.
Yeah, dude. Didn't we all? That's the story. So you started as the dishwasher, and then did you move to prep from there?
Oh, yeah.
How fast?
Like how many weeks? Did you spend like years in the dish pit or just like a couple weeks?
Yeah, definitely not.
Did you fail out of the dish pit like Jake Town?
No.
No? Okay. So you were good enough.
Yeah, dude. On. I don't feel like we talk about it enough. Like, there's two ways to get out of the dish pit.
You either succeed or you fail.
Yeah. You can either be good enough that they take you out of the dish pit, because you're useful, or they're like, you're bad enough, so they take you out of the district because you're useless.
But if you're bad enough and you get moved on, it's like, all right, he's terrible at dishes, but I kind of fuck with him, so we'll give him a chance in prep.
Yeah.
If we don't like, if they didn't like you, it's like, okay, no, he's fired. Like, he can't wash dishes.
I feel like Jake was the only one that did fail upwards that way. Like, he was the... He was the only one able to pull that off, dude.
Well, I think he was also working dishes, like, illegally.
How so?
Like, I think he was, like, too young to be working or something.
Well, the way you phrased it made it seem like
okay, yeah, that was
he stupid. Was working dishes illegally, but it would have been legal for him to do other work.
I don't know. Maybe I might be tripping. I might have smoked too much weed as well.
Yeah, for real. You guys are lightweights, but it's okay. Yeah,
I'm pretty high. It's okay.
So
you were there like back when it was like pre Guy Fieri era.
Yep.
And when you started moving on to prep, like, I mean, all the stories that I heard about Jerry, like when I got hired there before I knew who you were, they were like, yeah, he was like the homie that just fucking beasted through all the prep projects. So you were like, you basically worked there for deep and became like the prep god in some senses.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think I just got angry a lot and yelled.
Dude.
I mean, I remember that in the expo station, absolutely. But
Jerry was definitely...
I feel like in prep, you like weren't like that all the time. Like, I remember you coming in and being like, all right, what projects don't you want to do? Because I'm going to do those. And that's like such a G move to do to anyone in the prep kitchen. You know what I mean?
I don't remember that, but...
Well, I remember one job in particular that nobody could really do except for a few people. Like, even people like Jake Town, who were, like, you know, veterans of the prep kitchen, couldn't pull it off. And that was the cinnamon rolls. And I remember JMFT being one of the only people that could make the cinnamon rolls. Does that ring a bell, Jerry?
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, dude. Dude, what was your key? You just got to roll them shit tight, right? You got to roll tight as fuck. Cinnamon rolls are hard.
I can't remember.
I mean, doing them good are hard.
They were straight up from scratch. So you had to make the dough.
Those motherfuckers, like when Jerry was rolling them, they looked like fucking Poliwhirl. Like it was like a straight up cyclone.
Yeah, dude, they did. So, yeah, fucking the cinnamon rolls, it was like, yeah, making the dough, splitting the dough into like two sections and letting it rise and then splitting it into three sections or whatever. Or that was the brioche for braiding it. But like... With the cinnamon rolls, it was the same thing, making the dough from scratch, making the like cinnamon and butter like filling. Couldn't you fuck that up too? It's like you clarified the butter instead of just liquefying it or some shit like that. I forget. There was just so many ways to fuck that project.
I never got to do that project.
It was like the one where it's like, fuck, we have to make cinnamon rolls today. Like, it needs to be like, is Val here? Is Jerry here? Like, yeah, there needs to be certain people there to make the cinnamon
rolls. To oversee it happening.
So when there's a day that they're not there and cinnamon rolls needs to be made, it's like, what the fuck are we going to do?
I saw Val a couple weeks ago.
Yo, for real?
Yeah.
Where at? Down in Charleston or some shit?
Yeah, Rippy's.
Yeah, that checks out hard. That's great. How'd she look? How's she doing?
Oh, she's killing it.
She's still driving that orange car around?
I think she's still at the establishment, too.
For real?
Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't Lexi said she was.
That's crazy.
I don't remember what episode that was. That's a recent one, though.
Can't believe I don't remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter. Anyway, what was it like working with Val, dude? Because, I mean, you must have worked closely if you were both in the prep kitchen like that.
Oh, yeah.
You got along well?
Oh, yeah. She was like my side of the table partner.
Yeah. You guys both had that back table. You had the best spot, too, because you were right next to the juicer. So if you needed to juice anything, you could just juice it up right there.
I feel like Jerry's station. Yeah. So the prep kitchen was like
Val. There was Jerry, four. There was Jay and then bitch prep station that I had to work.
Yeah. There was like a center table that had like four prep stations at it. Then there was like a fifth station, which was like face the wall by the spices.
The worst. And the knife rack.
Yeah.
That prep table sucked.
I agree, but I worked on it a lot and I never like hated it.
Yeah, well, because you were like fucking Shaquille O'Neal in that fucking kitchen and you're just like fucking boxing everyone out.
Come on, man.
Oh, that's when I remember when the juice station was on that back table.
It was all the way back there?
Yeah.
All the way back there. It's like 5 feet. But
you see Shaq clap out on Kanye, dude?
Yeah.
He was like, you don't know me like that. That shit was sick. Anyway, segueing away from talking about Kanye at all. So, yeah, dude, you and Val, was that like, you know, they were like prep teams. And I feel like you guys were like a squad for a while. Like you and Val on that table.
Yeah, definitely.
You crushed it. So what were your...
What was your favorite project to do there?
I was just gonna... Let's go. Let's get into it. What projects did you like? What projects did you hate?
I don't know. I think I like the bread.
You get that bread, boy. So, yeah, making the brioche, making the cinnamon rolls.
The focaccia.
Yeah. I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah.
We got to get into how embarrassing it was that it was referred to as focaccia.
I hated the fucking... I don't like focaccia that much in general. I hated the focaccia at the establishment.
The focaccia at the establishment was not focaccia bread.
Fucking toasting that bum-ass focaccia to go with soups and... did it go with the salad? No, just the soup.
I think...
And those busted-ass fucking George Foreman grills on the Expo Station. Okay, do you remember that? That was so
take this ridiculous. Boiled potato water.
Dude, it was bad. Like, what we would do for focaccia... Like, we made focaccia at the establishment, and it was... Just bread made on sheet pans, like the size of sheet pans. Focaccia, in my mind, you're thinking of like there's that layer of spices on top. You know, it's got like mad Italian seasoning.
And there's like tomatoes and random herbs on top.
Yeah, like there's mad cute. There's mad shit in it. And this was just plain. It was just like plain sheet pans.
Was it even salted?
I feel like it might have been salted or something, but like there was definitely no, like, focaccia is supposed to, like, have, like, oil and shit all over it with, like, you know, all the herbs and shit. This had, like, nothing on it. And its only purpose was to be the bread that would go out with, like, soups and salads and shit.
Did it go out with salads?
I'm thinking about it, and I did it. Do you remember, Jerry? Did it go with salads?
I don't think it did.
One piece. One.
You put one piece in
I down. Think you would get a piece of bread no matter whether it was a soup or a salad.
Dude, I bugged out on those fucking... It's like, I haven't had a dream about the establishment in years, but I used to have those like work dreams about fucking breaking that fucking Foreman grill all the time.
Yo, so...
You need like 10 orders of bread and you can only fit 6 on it or something.
Just
like
to
that.
Make it clear for the listeners, so as an expo, when a dinner entree would come in, so not like a burger or something, but the more complicated entrees like the champagne chicken and Gouda pork and stuff that the dinner chef would have to make, they would come with like a soup or a salad as like a little appetizer. So the expo would have to prepare the soup or salad, send it out with a little piece of toasted focaccia, and we would have like a little form. It started with us having like a legit panini press. As like what we would heat the bread up on, and we would break them maybe twice a year. It would break and we would have to get a new one. Then they just started getting like Foreman grills because it would break like mid-shift.
We'd be with one that like because they like fall off the expo station and shit and break. At one point there was one that was literally just holding on by like its cord.
Yeah, like the clamshell mechanism in the back, like the hinge was completely gone. And so you're just like placing one half on top of the other half instead of like opening and closing it.
They were so fucking, that was the most frustrating part of Expo.
It was dumb because it was a shit ass piece of bread.
And a shit ass tool to heat it up.
Yeah, she grilled on a shitty ass Foreman grill.
And usually with some shitty ass green soup.
Yeah, so it was like, it was like, why even call it focaccia on the prep list? Just call it like bread, like soup bread or some shit. Like, it was embarrassing. God, I forgot that shit was on the menu.
I forgot all about that.
And so then I remember, so you'd bake off the focaccia as a prep cook. And like, you'd have to, you know, make the dough and everything. And then you would cut it into the cubes or like the square shaped pieces. And then they would get bagged up, put in fish tubs in the freezer. And you'd have to pull this bread out as an expo to have it for your shift to like, you know, so you could cut it into like, you know, like triangle pieces and then cut those triangle pieces in half, put them on the Foreman grill and fucking. When you would run out of bread and it was only the frozen bread and you're trying to like cut pieces of focaccia.
You're like, you're waiting an extra like 10 minutes for it to like get singed on the George Foreman grill.
There's certain things where it's just like, this is bread. You can't like run it underwater to thaw it. Like, there are certain things that like you just can't like thaw quicker. It's brutal.
Yeah.
So Jerry, I remember holding it down on all the fucking baked goods. Like, so you, those were like your favorites to do, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have anything else that you remember liking doing?
No, honestly, the last 4 years kind of blocked a lot of that stuff out.
Yeah.
Like these last 4 years or your last 4 years there?
Oh, no, these last 4 years.
Okay.
The plumbing, so, the plumbing industry has really torn you down and built you back up. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
They broke you down, whittled you down.
Backbreaking manual labor to butthole surgery.
Yeah, dude, you want to tell everybody about your butthole surgery?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't tell you about my butthole surgery.
No. Yeah, you should tell Max.
I got butthole surgery, Max.
I am, yeah. I want to be as supportive as I can for you. I mean, I don't know how long ago it was, but I'm happy you got done what you needed to get done.
It was a tight-knit procedure.
I hope it worked out okay.
Probably, I don't know, we're coming up on a year and a half.
Okay. You've recovered like a champ, dude. You look great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the butthole's not out, but you look good. I can imagine the butthole looks good, too.
I mean, technically, I guess it's factory fresh, but...
Yeah.
Like, what, you got a butthole replacement?
It was like, you know, time-wise, it's factory fresh, but if you look at it, you could tell it's refurbished.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Still has value. You
know, I want a new butt.
Yeah, no, I never had, like, anything done at all.
Like plastic surgery?
You say cosmetically, yeah.
Or like, any surgeries at all, you know, like, broken shit or anything like that, but...
First one?
Yeah, they gave me one of those big spine needles they give to pregnant ladies.
Oh, shit. Like epidural?
Yeah, epidural.
Damn.
What's that again? It's like...
It's like what they give you when you're going into labor to help with the pain.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a long ass needle.
How'd that feel?
I don't know. They already like put something in the IV. So,
yeah. Okay. It's already on the morphine.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And I'd never been under before. So I just remember getting wheeled in. And then the last thing I remembered is the sound of them shaving my ass. And then I woke up.
Nice. Do you ever that just reminded me of the Osbournes, that episode of the Osbournes where he's going to get dental work and they're trying to like, knock him out, and he's just not getting knocked out. He's just like, no, I don't feel a thing.
I don't remember.
They put like the gas mask on him to put. What do they give you at the dentist to put you to sleep?
I mean,
forget what the fuck.
You talking about nitrous?
I don't think it's
I don't
nitrous.
Think they do nitrous.
It puts you to sleep.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't know what it is, but anyway, in the video, he's just like, I don't feel a thing. Like most people would be just knocked the fuck out.
We should just turn this podcast into an Osbourne recap podcast where we watch every episode.
Dude, that could be our Patreon.
Yo,
that could
let's
be
do
it. Right
it.
There.
Let's
we just watch like really, I mean, that's a really good one, but like really bad reality TV shows from the early 2000s.
And the Prince of Fucking Darkness.
We'll do Flavor of Love.
Dude.
The Surreal Life.
Dude, Flavor of Love. Or
Jersey Shore.
I love New York. I love New York.
I love New York too.
Let's go. All right. Anyway.
Rock of Love.
Let's save this for the Patreon.
Okay.
Let's save this concept for later.
So, Jerry, like, I want to talk about things that I remember at least about you that we could elaborate on. One of them that, like, in a way relates to this podcast a lot is like working with you there. You were constantly going on about, what if this restaurant was a movie? Who would play who?
I just remember saying, fuck this place. Over and over.
Yeah. You were yelling, fuck this place. But yeah, dude, I remember casting the movie.
That was like a big thing. We would talk about that all the time. I'd be like, yo, Jerry, who would play Decot in the movie?
How insulting was the answer?
It was always great. Who do you think would play Decot in the Crazy Bigger movie?
Martin Ford.
What? I don't even know who that is.
He's bringing it up.
Let's go. He said that so quick.
Yeah, he knew. Who would play you, Jerry?
This is who would play Jerry. We have to come up with who would play Jerry.
I could see like Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Try to think of what would
like. I guess I could just.
Yeah, who is that?
It's Martin Ford, dude. Come on.
Fuck you.
Yeah, that's Deacon right there.
Dennis just showed us a picture.
Could not have been more
of like a fucking bodybuilder.
I think he's like, I think he's 7 feet or a little taller.
He's like 7 feet, 350 pounds of pure muscle. Yeah. That's totally mean.
Very on point.
The guy that plays the mountain. Like
bigger.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, that was good.
All right, who would I be?
You would be played by like...
I don't want to hear your take. I want to hear Jerry's.
You would be played by that kid from Licorice Pizza.
Never seen it.
That fucking Cooper whatever.
Oh, now I have to look.
Yeah, no, you would definitely.
My phone's charging.
Daniel Day-Lewis, and you know, we're gonna have him spend several months.
Daniel Day-Lewis is playing me?
Yeah.
Wow. That is
imagine
compliment.
He'll spend 6 months with you, really get you
that down. Method yeah. acting of Daniel yeah. Day-Lewis playing like street hockey and shit, trying to figure out how to get into a fuckboy's brain. That'd be so funny.
Yeah. I mean, I we talked about it I'm going to edit this out, but we talked about it in the episode that we're not going to air, but I served Matthew Broderick last week.
That's pretty sick.
And then guess who I... So Matthew Broderick and SJP, and then guess who I got this week?
Who?
Jar Jar Binks.
I'm at best?
Yep, all day.
That's sick. Yep. Oh, wait, dude, that's lit. You served I'm at best.
Yeah, so my bartending resume, I've been bartending that's for like
so
6 weeks.
That's so sick.
Matthew Broderick, SJP... Jar Jar Binks. It's my big three.
Hell yeah. His name's Ahmed Best, okay? And dude, I'm way more starstruck by him than by Broderick.
He was very handsome.
Yeah.
Ahmed Best is very handsome.
Dude, he went through some shit.
He got a... Did he?
For the whole Jar Jar thing, because
people just hate Jar Jar?
Dude, he was like... People were like... Everybody was like, he's ruined this movie, ruined this franchise, worst thing ever. And then, like, other black people are like, how could you do this horrible racist caricature of our people? Like he was really getting it from all sides. He went through a real low point for a while.
He got a mezcal old fashioned.
Yo. Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I was looking, okay.
Damn.
And then I was like, he sat at the bar, and it was at, like, we were closing. But he seemed nice, so we were like, okay, we'll give you a drink. And then I was like, he's really handsome. I know it's Comic-Con. Then he gave me his card, and his name was Ahmed Best. And I was just like, that's got to be someone.
Comic-Con. That's why. Oh, it's yeah.
Comic-Con this weekend.
Oh, that's so funny.
The peeps be out. And then when he's leaving, I was like, peace, Jar Jar.
That's so hurt.
Yeah.
You should have said, like, you said good one, sir.
I was going to be like, Misa want margarita pizza.
You said do it good, sir. Wow. Shout out to Ahmed Best.
Yeah. Come back anytime.
Damn. So, Jerry, you ever meet Jar Jar Binks?
Nope.
Or anyone from Star Wars? Harrison Ford?
I met Cuba Gooding Jr.'s little brother one time.
Wow. You show him the money?
No.
Damn. Yeah. How did you... Wait, is that for real?
Yeah.
You met Cuba Gooding Jr.'s brother, you said?
Yeah, Omar Gooding, bro.
Omar Gooding. When was this?
I don't know, 92, 93.
Wow, what was the context?
He used to be on Nickelodeon. What the fuck was that?
Omar Gooding?
Wild and Crazy Kids. He was one of the hosts.
And you were there because...
There was some event in Providence, and I attended.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say you were on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, that would have been sick.
God, that would have been so sick.
I think technically it might have been aired.
Yeah, let's just go with you were on Nickelodeon. I was going to say, we're going to just fudge the numbers on this one.
Speaking of, like, children shit, dude, RIP Aaron Carter.
Yo.
Wicked sad.
Yes, that's how he beat Shaq.
Yeah. But you know what? People get all about that song.
He beat Shaq to the graveyard.
But he doesn't. He does. That's fucked up. But he also didn't beat Shaq.
He put it in the hoop like slam.
Yes. He did put it in the hoop like slam. But the end of the song / music video, it's all a dream.
Oh, it's one of those St. Elsewhere things.
Yeah, he didn't actually beat Shaq.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense because I didn't think that Shaq could really lose to Aaron Carter.
Especially back in, like, 99.
Maybe now with today's NBA, if Aaron Carter, like, grew up just only shooting threes, you know, because he grew up around watching Steph.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, there's a chance that maybe with today's analytics, you know, if he was just throwing up threes, he could maybe beat Shaq, but... He was taken from us too soon for us to find out.
Yeah. We'll never know.
God, this is bad.
This is getting dark.
This is just disrespectful by us. But yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's honestly disrespect to Shaq, too. Shout out Shaq.
Yeah. A lot of Shaq talk this episode.
Every time I meet someone that tells me that they've met Shaquille O'Neal, I'm like, it's, you know, I deserve it more than you. So
what?
That's yeah, I'm one of the biggest Shaquille O'Neal fans in the world, dude.
Yeah.
I did my senior project on Shaquille O'Neal.
You hear this entitlement here, Jerry? Hear this?
Shaquille O'Neal is a Renaissance man. I know more about Shaq than most people. That's all I'm going
to
say.
And you deserve to meet him because of this?
More than other people, yes.
I bought Shaq Fu for the Sega Genesis, and it came with a Shaq rap CD for free.
Dude.
That's sick. Yo, do you think he fudged the numbers on going platinum that way? Like, that technically got to count as an album sale.
Do you think it did?
They purchased something. I feel like maybe.
I mean, it's like a video. It could be.
We got to get to the bottom of this. Shaq, you know what? You're not going to get away with it, buddy.
Hit us in the DMs about the real numbers of your
platinum. We're going to find out what really happened.
Yeah.
You guys ever play that? Shaq Fu?
Nah, I'm too young, too old.
I remember Shaq Fu, but like, and I think I remember playing it. Not as a child, but like once at somebody's house when I was like a stone teenager. And it was like, dude, we got Shaq Fu. But I didn't have it, like, at my house. Shaq Fu is legend, though.
I remember playing, like, NBA back in the day and, like, making teams of all Shaqs and simulating them playing against each other. So it'd be, like, 12 Shaqs versus 12 Shaqs in a game of basketball, and you just see
who wins.
Yeah, Shaq, obviously. Shaq
can't be. We all win watching fantastic basketball.
I had one of those virtual boys back in the day. You remember those?
No, what
Nintendo elaborate. Virtual Boy?
Like a virtual Shaquille O'Neal?
No, like it's like a headset that stands on a tripod and you set it on a table and then put your face up to it.
And
it was virtual reality games.
And you could like see into it?
Yeah, yeah. It was like terrible though. It was all just like red lasers, so it like went off the market pretty quick because it was supposed to be like bad for your eyes.
Yeah, I bet. Damn.
Mine just went missing. I don't know what the hell happened to it.
That sucks.
I think my mom trashed it.
That's fucking brutal. She's like, this isn't virtual reality.
You can make so much money on that now.
I've still yet to do virtual reality, like the new one.
You just got to watch the Lawnmower Man first, and then you're good.
Lawnmower Man?
Yeah. Get on that.
Okay.
Jerry, you've not seen the Lawnmower Man?
I'm very...
That's a Jerry Dennis movie.
Lawnmower Man.
You're what?
I said, I'm familiar with the Lawnmower Man.
That's a fucking Jerry Dennis movie right there. Jerry Dennis has great taste in movies.
It's like evil Johnny Mnemonic.
Yeah, it is. The fucking, that movie's great. Shout out to the Lawnmower Man.
Anyway, let's tie this back down to the establishment now. Yeah, I'm going to try to get some more memories out of this motherfucker's head.
Let's do it.
Jerry, like, again, when I started there, you were not working there anymore. Like, how many times have you quit there and come back? Was it just once or twice?
Hey, it might have been three times.
Okay. Was the first time that you quit there when you went to go work at the anti-establishment?
I'm trying to remember myself.
Yeah, I can't place it. What the shit?
But you did leave to go to...
You crossed to the dark side.
The anti-establishment.
No. What happened was I was doing shifts at both places. But then Mike saw me chopping wood out back one day.
Yeah, because the wood fire pizza oven.
You can't do both.
Yeah, dude, he got mad. I forgot about that. Yeah, so you were working at both places secretly.
I mean, at least the man sticks to his guns. I feel like he's always said that to everyone.
Yeah. He sticks to his shitty guns, yeah.
Yeah.
So, did you like working at the anti-establishment?
Were you the one that dented all those prep tables? You don't remember their prep tables being all dented and shit?
Nah.
Dude, their prep tables were fucked at the anti-establishment.
I just remember they had a sauna in there in the beginning.
Had a what?
A sauna?
Yeah.
Like a steam room?
Yeah, sauna. It was just, it was in the back storage room. It was still functional. We used to use it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so funny.
Get a nice steam in between prep shifts.
Then, like, Casey took it down and took all the wood down. And she was like, I'm moving this to my house. And it's still sitting in her basement in pieces.
Jeez. Fucking brutal. You didn't just, like, store your hot dog buns there or something? Keep them all steamed. Max, what are you doing over there, you fucking weirdo?
Rangers up 2-0, bitch.
Max,
I've said bitch too much today. I shouldn't be saying bitch. That's disrespectful.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Do you want to congratulate the Astros on their World Series?
You know, fuck the Houston Astros for real. But, I mean, like, at least there won't be a financial collapse coming. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Why do you say that?
Because every time the Phillies have won the World Series, there's been like financial collapse right after in America.
I did see that. I'm sure that because the Phillies lost, we'll totally be fine.
I mean, I bought Powerball. Did you?
No.
You?
No.
All right. Well, I'll give you guys some money if I win.
You heard it here first, folks.
Did you do a lot of prep at the anti-establishment, or were you more on like what the hell did you do there? I don't think we worked together there.
I guess in the beginning, then most of the time was like on the oven.
You did pizzas?
Yeah.
Did you get nice with it, or did you fuck up all the time?
Oh, I was the nicest with it.
Ooh. You were the nicest with it? Better than Mike C?
Better than Mike C.
Yo.
Oh, shots fired.
Mike C, he's got to come on the pod and defend himself.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen Mike C in fucking
that would be either. Sick. That's
Mike
honestly,
C would be a great
Mike C would be a
podcast.
Huge get.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shout out Mike C.
We still have to get Matt Ock, too.
Dog, get me on the fucking podcast first. The fucking Mike C.
Mike C's in Connecticut now.
Mike CT. Damn.
Getting them brain scans.
Working at Foxwoods, I think.
Really?
That sounds nice.
That's legit.
Because you could smoke cigs in there.
You could just rip butts while working on it. Dude, I went to play poker at Mike C's house one night, and we were just ripping butts in his house, like, the whole fucking night, hardcore. I was like, damn. It's a lifestyle.
Yep.
You're right, dude. Are we keeping you from something?
We have another person coming on in like an hour. I'm just making sure they're not like trying to contact me, and I'm like not answering.
This kid's on his phone.
Yo,
bro.
Fuck you, bro. We're still. I don't know. We're coming up in here in a fucking Muse Tavern hat, like a little bitch.
You would be triggered by that.
I wish you guys could have met the first guy I worked with.
Oh yeah, in the plumbing job.
Yeah, for the first like 3 years.
This is a guy you had to like apprentice for, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about this guy. Let's get into it. I want to hear about him.
He was a little younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like, I don't know, three years younger than me or so.
So probably like around my age or some shit, right? I don't know.
Yeah, he's probably like 31 now, maybe.
Oh, so yeah, younger than me too.
Maybe, yeah. But, oh man, talk about entitled.
Yeah, dude, I remember you telling me about this guy, but you need to tell us all again.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just one of those dudes that just never moved out. And
like from his parents?
Yeah. Doesn't have to pay like any utilities, like nothing. He's just like making a decent amount of money.
Oh, man. Plumbing. Sounds great.
Babe.
Just not having to pay bills.
Like, I mean.
Yeah, but like what? It comes with other baggage.
I mean, not all the time, bro. Some people just have rich parents and don't have to pay bills. It's real.
Okay, yeah, but we're talking about someone that still lives with their parents.
I mean, yeah, the house big enough, they don't have to chill.
The parents aren't rich.
It's still embarrassing. If your parents are mad rich and
you're like, I don't think it's embarrassing.
I mean,
we live in like a wicked shitty era where like every year more and more people live alone.
I hear you and I support those people and I appreciate that point because, you know, it's hard out here. But traditionally, we all know that there is some baggage that comes with not being able to flee the nest.
And I fucking, being someone that has lived on their own since 21 and has had to like go back to my mom's house once or twice, it sucks.
Yeah.
Dude. You know, it's just, it's not the same as you living with your parents when you're like 8 years old and everything's dope.
Let's be, frank. It's tough to clap cheeks when your mom's upstairs.
Yeah, facts.
Like it's all day. It's tough. It's hard out here.
For a pimp.
Wait, you're trying to make the money for the rent, but anyway, tell us more about this guy.
Oh, man.
Didn't he have some interesting views politically?
What, like tipping 10%?
No, I mean, he was like...
It's not a political issue, but yeah.
He was like hardcore Republican.
Yeah. Big Trumpy guy.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, he bought like a... He went out and bought like a $70,000 GMC Denali, like diesel truck.
Jeez.
And then like... totaled it. He just like bought something from like some guy that he said he thought was supposed to be like perks. Ended up being fentanyl.
Oh my God. Oh, honey.
And like him and his buddy were like in the seat. They went off the highway, totaled the truck. Cops found him.
They were ODing?
Yeah, cops had to like kick the windows in.
Oh my God, that's fucking fucked up.
And then they had to Narcan him. So I drove the work truck after that.
Yo, that sucks.
He still, he never got the ability to drive like a work truck back, but he did get his like normal license back.
Yeah, because did he get some form of like DUI for that?
Oh yeah, he had to keep like one of the devices in his car.
Oh, the breathalyzer in the car and shit.
Yeah, well, but like, can you breathalyze?
Wasn't that no? Like, wasn't a heroin breathalyzer? Yeah. So yeah, that is weird because
just like, yo, that's Percocet.
That's honest.
Car doesn't start.
Like, that's mad interesting to think about because it's like, what if you don't drink alcohol at all, and you're just like a druggie, and you get a DUI for drug things, and they're like, you could go to jail or get a breathalyzer in your car. You're like, give me the breathalyzer. I don't even drink. Like,
yeah, well, I feel
and
like
I'm just shooting up while driving.
Yeah, like, I feel like
breathing the breathalyzer.
You have to be smart enough to like be like, yeah, officer, like, prove it. Prove that I'm impaired. You know what I mean?
I just mean like it'd be interesting if somebody got a DUI that wasn't for alcohol.
I mean,
their solution was to give them a breathalyzer.
People have gotten it with like weed before.
Yeah, but then they give
them. Oh yeah, I am high. It's like, dude, no.
I understand that. My joke is based on the fact that they would then get a breathalyzer when the initial DUI wasn't even for alcohol.
I mean, I don't
like if you got a DUI for weed and then they give you an alcohol breathalyzer. You're like, all right, cool. I'm still gonna puff on Chiba the whole time, even while breathing into this breathalyzer. Like, anyway, that was fun. So, dude, any other gems about this guy? Wasn't he just a dick to work with, too?
Oh, right after he got his regular license back, everything got, like, covered by insurance. So he went out and bought the same $70,000 truck again.
Of course.
Brand new. And within a week of that,
totaled it again.
From the front of the truck all the way to the back, he, like, hit a mailbox and it just like caved it in like a few inches.
Oh, it just dragged along. So it just like ruined every panel on one side of the truck. That's the worst. Like, I love how accidents come down to things like that where you're just like, how many quarter panels did I just like fuck up on my car right now?
Yeah, for a while, that's what I said. It was like, man, I was a dildo in the kitchen. So I'm going to get the dildo of the plumbing world that I have to work with. And damn, that was true.
Yeah, you feel like it was karmic balance coming back.
You feel like you were the dildo of the kitchen world?
Oh, the angry dildo, yeah.
Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, speak on that.
An angry fake penis.
He was an angry rubber cock.
What do you think about the like service industry made you so angry? Like, do you get as angry plumbing as you do like ECBOing?
No, but
because I never really remembered you getting that mad on prep. It was more Expo. When you expoed, you were like, bro.
Expo did not fit Jerry's lifestyle or demeanor.
You were like that emoji where like the nuclear was coming out of its head.
Yeah. So Jerry was always a sick prep cook, and they moved him to Expo because we needed Expos at one point. And Jerry was just like, yeah, fuck this. Like, it was all high intensity. And like, Jerry would just be like, I need some fucking help over here. I'm fucking crashing and shit. Like, it would get intense. And Jerry, when Jerry was mad, he'd fucking let you know. And when he was exploring, he was mad a lot. But other than that, dude, it's like no one would ever think of Jerry when they were thinking of like, oh, who are the biggest dicks of the establishment? It's like you wouldn't even come up. Like,
yeah, well, I feel like it was nothing personal. He was just mad.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, we were all mad fucking working there.
Yeah, I don't know. The more money I make, I guess the less mad.
Yeah, that's, yeah, makes exactly. A lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, now, dude, thinking about how much money I used to make back there,
would you go back and expo the establishment if you got the same pay that you're getting right now doing your job?
Negative.
What about $10,000 a year more?
Negative.
$100,000 a year more.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Who wouldn't, dude?
Yeah, I'm
there's a number.
I'm not shaming, bro.
Everybody's got a number. Yeah,
everyone's got a number. Mine's 1.9 billion. Lotto, baby. Oh, wait. It's probably going to be one or higher by the time this episode comes out.
I'd be on par with my bro making that much money.
Yeah? Your bro got some loot?
He makes some cash flow.
He's stacking bundles?
Caking up?
So, Jerry, another thing I'd like to bring up is... I think me and you, no, we're not. No, that's not true. There are other people, but you're one of the only people that we've had on the podcast that has lived in the parking lot of the establishment, right? Didn't you live in the parking lot for like a summer?
You're telling me more people did that afterwards?
I did it. It was only like a month, and I had to move around a little bit.
You had to move around a little bit?
Well, like I was in the parking lot. When I bought like that camper van, I parked it in the fuck. I'm gonna have to edit that out. Cool. The establishment parking lot, and then Chris was like, "You can't park it there." Oh no! And then I got fired, so I went over to the anti-establishment, and then I was parking it like by where everyone chopped wood.
Yeah.
And then they were like, "You can't park it there either." And then I just kept like having to move it, and damn. Then I ended up just selling it, getting an apartment, but.
So your goal, Max, back then was you invested in like a camper van because you were like, this is going to be my lifestyle moving forward?
I just didn't know what I wanted to do. Like it was when I came back from New York and I like didn't know mm-hmm. if I like was going to like move cross country or I didn't know what the fuck I was going to do.
Yeah, no,
I was regrouping and I had a chance to
getting
buy.
Like a camper van is and not
I,
the worst
well,
plan.
I got like a sick deal and it was like from 1979. Dude, it was older than Nicky LaPrey. It's like that was like the
whoa,
thing. I got it, and everyone was like, "This car is older than Nicky LaPrey."
Whoa, dude!
And the driving, the steering wheel is like this. Like, I had no license plates, and I'd be driving around Narragansett, and the cops would be like waving to me, like, "Hey, look at this cool van this guy."
For
has.
The listeners, he's signaling like a really big steering wheel, yeah, like a bus
driving
would
a fucking boat.
Whoa, dude, that was so fucking Nicky LaPrey catching strays right now.
What do you mean, Nicky LaPrey looks like she's like fucking 28 still? So.
I know, but like, bro, you just fucking unleashed some shots, dude.
Damn.
Sorry, Nicky.
Damn. It's all good. It's all love.
That was brutal. That was fucking brutal.
But yeah, so what was it like living in the parking lot?
It was good, man. You know, had that Explorer.
In the Explorer. I don't remember the Explorer.
I bought it from, I think, Amber.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was a white 5-speed.
And so you camped out in the fucking lot for, like, a summer? And you were fine because you didn't have, like, a camper? You just had, like, a normal car?
Yep.
Yeah, dude, that's legit. That's legit service industry shit. Living in the parking lot of your establishment.
Or living in the establishment. Like that one dude was sleeping in like the back. Is that Brother Ben?
I don't remember.
Someone told that story on the pod where he was sleeping in the fucking back area where everyone got changed. Like sleeping like on one of the shelves or some shit.
Yeah, he'd like move cans out, off of like shelves and then like we found
him. And then he like called out or some shit.
We found him like he pulled all the shelves out of like in front of the most ground level shelf, went under the shelf and then tried to put like cans in front of him so nobody would find him.
Yo,
like he's the like big, like what are those?
Number 10 cans.
Yeah, number 10 cans.
So he's like under in this little thing and he like put the shelf back on top of himself to like disguise it.
No, like the shelf was just high enough that he could slide under it.
Oh my God.
So he just moved the cans out, slid under it, and then like
put the cans back. Oh my God, that's so funny.
That's great. I remember there were times that like I was out all night partying and my shift was like in like an hour and a half and I was like, I'm just gonna go chill.
Oh yeah.
In the establishment. Like smoke weed until my shift starts.
Bro, I did that with the mist and I like slept on the beach.
That's great.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, different ball game with the plumbing now.
Yeah. There's no sleep in
Well, you can't sleep in someone else's tub. You have to fix the next day.
I did find an electrician that had a hammock in his van.
Really?
That's pretty cool.
That's legit. Sick shit.
Yeah. Yep. Turds everywhere.
That's good stuff.
Jerry, what about, do you remember ever seeing like any gnarly injuries in the kitchen when you worked in it?
I had to go to the hospital one time.
Before?
I cut like part of the end of my pinky off.
So you could say penis. I was like, oh my God.
Doing what?
Just cutting stuff.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, you just cut like the fat part?
Yeah, there's no prints like in the very tip.
Oh yeah, I see it. He's showing me his pinky right now, folks.
It's a great pinky, Jerry.
It's a fine looking finger.
Hey, thanks.
Dazzling digit.
An amazing representation of the phalange.
Yes, yes. Fantastic phalange. All right.
I don't know. You got anything else, D-Cup?
I feel like that about does it. I'm hot as balls now.
I know, dude. It's fucking hot out.
It's fucked up. What's up with this weather, y'all? What is the deal? Yep.
Jerry, do you have anything else you'd like to say or talk about or ask us?
I feel like I should have prepared more.
Yeah, but you know what the good thing is that you can come back on whenever. So like,
yeah, you're coming on.
We'll get you in here.
Fuck, I should have prepared more.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get you in here with a guest too. We like, get Jimmy in here or some shit.
Like coming on.
Or Tuba.
Just coming on right here. Just anywhere right here.
Yeah. Wherever. The world's yours, Nas.
Oh my God. That does it. Wrap this shit up, B.
Okay. I'm Max Messier Richter.
I'm Darren Cotter.
Jerry Dennis.
That's right. And this is the Rags and Dishes Podcast.
This is what's behind the scenes. Cooking in the kitchen, that big money where we eat all. Rags and Dishes. Stories come.